Welcome to the last week of our study. Of course, we have the brunch coming up in a few weeks, which I'm sure somebody important will make the announcement about in a little bit. But I'm just glad to be here and to be able to conclude our study in some way. So there's a lot in this last chapter. It was kind of hard for me to narrow down what to say, honestly. But one of Courtney Doctor, I'll call her Doctors. It's kind of funny. Her key phrases in this chapter was that stuck with me. She said, because our understanding of the future affects our hopes for the future, and our hopes for the future shape our behavior in the present. So I'll read that one more time. Because our understanding of the future affects our hopes for the future, and our hopes for the future shape our behavior in the present. I just thought that was so important. She spends a lot of time in that chapter talking about revelation and that just like what we have to come, but it does, and so it's important for us to understand all that is going on in Revelation and what will happen in the end times in heaven, because it does shape what we, how we will live today, how we will think today, how we will pray today. And so I thought it was interesting just in my reading, and some of y'all are probably familiar with this. As I mentioned, she talks a lot about the book of Revelation. As I was reading, it's interesting to find that that those churches in Revelation were under great persecution and turmoil. There was this ruler called Domitian. He was not that great of a guy. One quote I said that he, or that I read, said he ruled his empire with sheer terror. That's not that exciting. He was a little crazy. As one author said, he imagined living in a world ruled by a man who would leave his brother to die. So his, I guess his brother was his predecessor, and he left him to die so he could be the king or the ruler. He seduced his own niece, and he would kill people for making jokes about him, and then demand to be addressed as Lord and God. So these people were undergoing great amounts of persecution. And so it was especially important for them to, going back to that phrase, to understand their future, because it really did affect like their daily life. I read somewhere that John, who wrote this letter, was on this island writing this letter of Revelation, and he was boiled in oil by this ruler before he went there. So these people were undergoing like really serious stuff. And so it definitely, you know, they were living in fear each day. Am I going to be killed, or, you know, what's going to happen to me for being a believer? So we may not be going under those types of persecution right now, but we all have different types of tribulation that we're going through right now and different kind of challenges. And so here's a modern day example of that kind of helps put this idea in perspective for us. This is a little story that Tim Keller shares in one of his sermons. He says, if you hire two men for a year to do the same job under terrible working conditions, but you paid one guy, you paid him at the end, and at the end you told one guy, I'll pay you $10,000 for staying in this small room under terrible working conditions, just $10,000. Like long days and all that kind of stuff. But the other guy doing the exact same task, you told him that he would receive $10 million at the end of the time that he worked in that small room under terrible working conditions. So what do you think would be the difference in those people's perspectives? One that only received $10,000 at the end of that, and the other one that received $10 million under that in that time. Well, Tim Keller talks about that the man that was being paid $10 million would most likely whistle his way through the year, and at the end of that time, he would probably declare it was the most easiest job he'd ever had. So you can kind of imagine, like, you're just doing this, you know, mundane work in these terrible work conditions, but like, I'm going to be a millionaire. I don't know if y'all have seen, like, the, you know, My Lottery Dream Home, like, commercials recently where David is, like, all blinged out and everything, but... You know, it's that kind of idea. So True Confessions, a few weeks ago, you probably remember that there was a lottery drawing for $1.6 billion. And even on the lottery billboards, it said like 999 million because they couldn't even fit 1.6 billion like on the thing. So I had been meaning to get some lottery tickets, but you know what it is, like just being a mom, you can't really break away to get lottery tickets. So at 9:30, I was like, Steven, the kids are in bed, and he was like about to go to bed. I'm like, I'm ready to dump them, and I'm going to go get some lottery tickets. He's like, you're what? He's like, do you know your chances? He's like a CPA in finance and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I know, but I have to go. And so, of course, as I'm driving there, I'm like thinking, and I just live right down the street from Tom, and I'm like, what could I do with $1.6 billion? I'm like, I could get a rug for my living room. I could maybe get a couch that doesn't smell like a beagle, or maybe a house in Colorado. But, you know, you start to kind of get excited when you think about that. Like, you think about, like, okay, what could I do with that money? And it's funny because I got to Stump Slum and there was, like, a line. The people were gone, like, from the little customer service booth, but there was a machine that you could, like, get your tickets. So I couldn't get my children's birthdays and all that kind of the numbers. But anyways, I'm sure all the other people are kind of having these similar thoughts. Like, I'm obviously going to get a lottery ticket so that I could, you know, what could I do with all this money? So this is like a really silly example, and you might think a lot differently of me now. But anyways, I would do some good to help other people too. But I think this is helpful in understanding the importance of our future. So for me, like, I got so excited about the lottery. Like, what if I, you know, what in the future would I do with this money? But, and so I think that that is also helpful for us to understand the hope that we have in Christ. It says we need to understand what is coming and what will be our reward in order to get through the mundane and even misery of the present. Doctor also says that we need to understand what we can about heaven for two reasons. One is that our hope would increase, and the second that our actions would more consistently reflect our hope. So our hope would increase and our actions would more consistently reflect our hope. So what is our hope? And so this $10 million, this $1.6 billion that I'm talking about, our hope is a living hope, and that hope is Christ. And I know that sounds like such a Sunday school answer and all that kind of stuff, but it really is, as this chapter highlighted, our inheritance. And so when we're facing these day-to-day trials, and like this church at Revelation, these churches of the Revelation, like undergoing these really hard circumstances, we have to know what our hope is in order to get there. Just a kind of a few verses that really hit that home. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the Father, God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So because of what Christ has done, we have this inheritance waiting for us, and that inheritance is him. Titus 2:13 says, we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So our hope is Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. So that's just the hope that he is going to transform us and we will be like him. So my last lecture 2 weeks ago, I mentioned the focus on the fact that of the 50 days, that was the name of the chapter, which included the crucifixion, the resurrection, the session, ascension, and Pentecost, that we were able to draw near to God because of those events. But our inheritance will be that we will be with God fully. So we can draw near to God now, but then we will completely be able to draw near to him. There will be nothing in the way. We get Jesus. He is in our inheritance. So although we have this inheritance of Christ, it is really hard to stay focused on what we're going to inherit, right? So I really want to be the guy that whistles all day long because I know what I'm going to get in the end. I really want to be the one that's joyful because to have like a heavenly perspective on things, to look forward and to say, this isn't it, or this isn't even compared to what it's going to be. But y'all, just, I couldn't even prepare for this lecture without just thinking about such silly things. I mean, next weekend, the weekend after Christmas, my silly family is going to be in the Parade of Lights in Clifton, Texas. And it's a small little town, and we're going to like do like a Frozen theme float. And so like my mind is like, well, how can we do the lighting, and how am I going to put the snowflakes, or how am I going to power the lights, or, you know, just all these things. And we're also thinking about redoing like this little farmhouse that my parents have. They're going to redo it for us, but like, I wonder what color I should do the walls, and, you know, all these things just like so distract us from what our inheritance is going to be. And I know that if you guys are like me, which I hope you're not, that, you know, we're just continually like distracted from this inheritance that we're going to receive. It's really interesting. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says that since you have been raised with Christ. So this is so interesting. It says like, therefore, or since you have been raised with Christ. So since we have this great inheritance, since we have this new creation, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I don't know about you guys, but it is just so hard to live in the in-between. We don't want the life that we have here, but it's so hard to stay focused on the life that we will have. I groan for the life that we will have, but it's just so hard to stay focused. So Romans 8:22 says, and you all have heard this, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together as in the pains of childbirth and now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It's so interesting that, I read this also when I was preparing for this lesson. It says that Revelation, of course, is for people that aren't believers, but it was specifically written for believers to endure this time of in-between. It says it's a gospel message is primarily given to needy believers who Christ calls to courageous faithfulness in the light of this of his gospel reign, meaning courageous faithfulness in the time now where he is on his throne in heaven, but he has not come back yet. So this term courageous faithfulness has really stuck with me. I am a needy believer. I am like that church at Revelation. But I really struggle with courageous faithfulness. So it's really interesting how John actually closes his book of Revelation. He says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. So that's what Christ said. I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what John is saying. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace, and then he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. So right before that, Jesus has said, the people have pleaded with Jesus, come. And so Jesus is saying, I am coming soon. Amen. And then the people are pleading again, come, Lord Jesus. And then again, he says, the grace of the Lord will be with you all. Amen. So you're like, what does this all have to do with me? Well, as I was reading, it's really interesting that the come, Lord Jesus, is just this desire for us for no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, but also to be with him fully. Like, that's totally right to be able to have that. But John knew that we needed God's grace to be with us just to even have this courageous faithfulness to be overcomers. So the benediction is the grace of the Lord be with you all, meaning like we can't just like muster up this like, well, I've just got to have a heavenly perspective, or I've just got to like think about this in a different way. It's saying we even need him to help us to think about him more often, to have a different perspective in living. It's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus that we can, that victory can be gained. With his promise of grace, this is a great quote too, with his promise of grace ringing in our ears, we hear our sovereign Lord saying, surely I am coming soon. And we answer, come Lord Jesus. So just this idea that John is saying you need grace to get through this, but also this desire for us to tell the Lord, like, we need you, we want you, come soon. So I think that I really don't have like a whole lot more to say. I think just really for me, like in the community, and I think just in my interaction with relationships and in my own personal walk, I'm challenged to think differently just about my own relationship with the Lord, what's distracting me on a day-to-day basis. And when I get distracted, and when I'm having these times of tribulation, not as extreme as the church of Revelation, during the Revelation letter, but I need people to like keep bringing me back to like, what is my inheritance? What will you receive? Because I don't feel like that's something that we talk about a whole lot. Like, what is coming? And so if I'm having a rough day, you might say, like, put me in, like, $10 million. You know, like, we can do this. You know, like, this is the things that we are satisfied in now is just a shadow, really, of what we're going to experience in heaven. And so let's just, I think, celebrate and just continue to plead with the Lord to come back soon. And ask him for grace to make it through each day.